This is the Art Cityscape Podcast. Hi, everyone. This is the seventh episode of the Art Cityscape. We're so glad that you're listening. For today's episode, we sat down with two city council members and asked them the simple question, what's on your mind? The first council member that you'll hear from is Councilmember Michael Snelson, who was elected to the Springville City Council in 2017. All right, Councilmember Snelson. So as a council member, lately, what's been on your mind?
Well, first of all, Jack, let me just say how impressed I've been with the podcast that you've done so far. So that's one thing that's been on my mind. You've done a great job. They're a lot of fun to view and to get feedback from the citizens and see how they like those. And I've had great feedback. People like them. They enjoy them. And I think it's a great way to get information out. In terms of what's on my mind as a councilman, I probably have the best job as one of the members of the council with the boards and committees that I work with. I'm privileged to be able to work with the Active Transportation Ad Hoc Committee. We're in the middle right now of working on an active transportation master plan. And I'm also on the Parks and Rec Board. And we're in the middle of doing a Parks and Trails plan. And so those two items are, even though they're two separate master plans, they work together very well. And I get to sit on both boards and help kind of tie those together. So those are a lot of fun. The other thing is I've been working with Mr. Neal on Buildings and Grounds, and I think you've had him on one of your podcasts already. Right. I've been working with him to figure out a way to get a bike park here in town. So we're looking at various venues for bike parks. There's a location up the canyon. There's a few here in town that we're taking a look at and to see if we can beef up the biking infrastructure in town and let kids and adults have a great place to play. We've seen that there have been some people build their own bike parks, and so we know it's in high demand and people are asking for that. So those are some of the things that I'm working on, some of the things that stay high on my priority list.
And you yourself are an avid biker, correct?
I am. I put a lot of miles on my bike. I generally do somewhere between 75 to 100 miles a week.
Wow. I've noticed that, and I've noticed that there are a lot of bikers in the community that are really interested and excited about what we're doing for them. How do you view Springville as a place for bikers?
A little bit of an issue we have is the connectivity between trails, between, for example, the Murdoch Canal Trail and the Spanish Fork River Trail. Of course, we can connect to Provo and get out to the Murdoch Canal Trail on the Provo River. I think it's called the Provo River Parkway, something like that. But we don't have a direct connection to that. So that's one of the things that we're working on. So once we get that plan developed and begin developing the infrastructure, I think it'll bring a lot of cyclists into town, through town, which, you know, anytime you're bringing people to town is a good thing. One of the locations that we're looking at for a bike park, is if we can get that location and make it work, will be kind of a premier location for a bike park. So hopefully that pans out. We had in mind doing Charrington Park at one time. We had some plans going that way. That fell through because Public Works needs to put two water tanks there. And because of the drought situation that we have, that's a higher priority than a bike park in that location.
Sure. You've mentioned a couple of master plans that you're involved in and some of the implications of those. What other outcomes do you hope to see from creating new master plans in those areas?
Well, what we hope to see on the Active Transportation Ad Hoc Committee and the master plan that we're developing for the Active Transportation Plan is to get people walking, cycling, on scooters, doing things kind of away from their cars. In order for that to happen, we've got to have more connectedness in town, and that's really what we're working on. We want to see people interacting with other people, doing the kind of things that they like to do that are healthy and productive and those kinds of things. And that's a big priority.
Great. And then with Parks and Recreation, how do you view the offerings that we have and maybe opportunities to improve?
Well, you know, we have a lot of parks in town. Mr. Neal talked about that when you interviewed him before. We've got a lot of parks. They're very well maintained. The playground equipment is great. What we'd like to do is start to develop some theme parks, not just a chunk of grass with a playground on it, but more theme-oriented parks. And so those are kind of some of the things that we're working on. And we've got a great Parks and Rec board that have great ideas, and it's fun to work with them.
Great. I did some reading about when you were running for city council, 2017, I think. Mm-hmm. And so you began in 2018, and you talked about infrastructure and growth. Those were two things on your mind then and concerns you had. How are we addressing those things? How well are we doing?
Well, I think we're doing pretty good with these master plans that we're developing. That's going to help build the parks infrastructure, the trails infrastructure, the active transportation infrastructure. There are things that have to be done to get all those connected. And once those are connected, it's going to be very productive for our citizens, I think. In terms of, what was the other question you asked? There was the infrastructure thing.
And growth, which is
growth,
related to infrastructure.
Which is related to that. I think we're handling growth quite well. The council has some debate sometimes on how we want to grow, what kind of housing we want to see. And we've got to accommodate affordable housing. It's a mandate from the state. The city continues to grow and people continue to come here, and the families that are having kids want their kids to stay here. And so we've got to figure out a way to accommodate that. And I think we've done a pretty good job. We recently adopted an accessory dwelling unit ordinance. The state has come back. We've got to make some changes on that right away. I think that's coming up on our agenda soon. Which will help people stay here in town and give people an opportunity to rent part of their house and make housing affordable for both the renter and the homeowner. So that's one way we've addressed that. We're taking a look at new plans out west, some in the Westfield, some west of I-15, in terms of housing projects that are more community-based with different types of buildings, different types of housing and things like that on them. And so we're excited to see some of that happen.
Great. Is there anything else lately that's been on your mind that you want to share?
That's pretty much all that's been on my mind, really. I'd really like to see this bike park go, because I've had a lot of demand for that.
Yep.
So that's something that I'm really working hard to see if we can get done.
Great. Well, thanks for sharing today, and thanks for your time being here and for serving on the council.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it.
Okay, the second city council member that we'll hear from is council member Liz Crandall, who was elected to the Springville City Council in 2019. You've been on the council since you were elected at the end of 2019.
Yes.
So it's been about a year and a half.
It has.
How's it going?
You know, it's going awesome. It's so much to learn and so many interesting caveats here of learning all the workings of the city, and I'm still learning and getting to know people. And I haven't known anything different other than being here during COVID. And, you know, so people will say, how is it being here during COVID? And, you know, because when we first started, that's when it all came about in 2020. And I don't know any different. I don't know any different but crazy, but interesting. And it's really great to be able to work through problems and problem solve. And our city has done such a great job at that. And you can ask me questions, but I was thinking as I said, working through problems and coming up with different ways to do our jobs. Here, I think of the library, because I am on the library board. And with Daniel and our library board director and what a great job he and his staff has done. And I was always so impressed with how they would reach out to the community and try to get them involved and really make them feel comfortable when, you know, COVID wasn't really comfortable. And we didn't know, there was such an unknowing of what was going to happen next and how great our library did it, including our whole community into reading more books and things that they could do at home.
Yeah, that's great. That's something that I've talked to a couple people about, the mayor and Troy as well, mm-hmm. just about how, you know, we had kind of a lot of scenarios in our mind for how COVID could affect us. And it seems like in every way, it's been kind of the best case scenario. I feel like services have really stepped up and figured out how to accommodate the community. And we've done well fiscally during that time mm-hmm. as well. And hopefully we can get out of that and see what normal life is like, right?
I know. Well, and I feel so fortunate to be a part of that because, you know, you'll listen to the news or read different publications about the stress that it has been on other parts of the nation, which it has been stressful here in Utah as well. But yet I feel like we have just risen to the occasion and, you know, so grateful that we're in such a great community where we, you know, love one another and like to help each other and understand and can be respectful of where we are and try to move forward with the challenges. So I just think we just are good at challenges. I don't want to have any more, but
I agree.
Probably not going to happen, but anyway.
I agree. Well, what are some of the things that have been on your mind lately as a council member?
Well, a lot of the things that have been on my mind is just what we have been talking about our community, just about being good neighbors and being good citizens. And, you know, I feel like Springville is such a great place to be. And I, you know, if you want it to be that way, and I think you can always find, you know, through community programs that we offer, you know, the library, the rec center, our splash pad, our Bartholomew Pond. There's good offerings. There's good people that have wanted these things and have wanted to have our community elevated and have opportunities for children and, you know, adults to participate in our art museum. So I think that means good community. And then I've noticed as things come up, as issues come up for us as a city council, you know, that we usually pretty well get along and like to work things out. But I just noticed that I like it when we can work out issues or problems as neighbors first. Because I know that sometimes you have to bring things forward to the city council. But I like it when we can talk with one another before it gets to that point. And I like it when we realize that that freedom is a gift and we have to be stewards over that. And as we work with one another in a positive way and respectfully, that can perpetuate our freedom, you know, as we can work things out. When we try to make too many regulations for each other, then it takes that away a little bit. So I've just been thinking through that and trying to see how maybe I can be a better neighbor, friend, citizen, and how my kindness and how I react to things really is important.
I think that's a great comment. You know, one thing that comes to mind is I deal with the social media for the city, and so a lot of people private message me. And one person asked, and rightfully so, they're worried about the drought. And they asked, hey, can I report my neighbor? And I just asked them, because they had a broken sprinkler. And I said, does your neighbor know that their sprinkler's broken? And they said, I don't know.
Yeah.
And they asked their neighbor, and they didn't know, and they got it fixed because their sprinklers run early in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's a good place to start to fix a lot of things.
I love that because I don't really believe in reporting our neighbors to someone else, to somebody else. I think we need to ask them and then be respectful of where we're at and because we all have different thoughts and opinions, and that's the beauty of individuals and living in a free society is recognizing we're not all the same, but we all have something to offer and recognizing that in one another. I think I love that. I love that when they can work it out.
That's great.
So that's what's been on my my mind as far as the community. And I do love Springville.
That's great.
I think we do a good job at that.
Are there other things? You serve on some committees and some boards. Are there other things going on kind of in your area of responsibility that you're thinking about?
Yes, I'm really thinking about the World Folk Fest that's coming up this July 30th and 31st. And that's another thing, too, where we've had to kind of tweak it through COVID and wondering, you know, what talent we can bring in and not, you know, we can't bring in really at this time people from other countries, but drawing more locally here where we can see the talent that we have here locally and still be able to give Springville a good product, something that people of all ages can come and enjoy, you know, music and dance and just the talent of others. And you know, we all participate in that. We can all participate in the beauty of watching and listening and enjoying what other people have to offer and what we can also be edified by that. So I'm excited about that, the World Folk Fest, and another committee that I serve on. And we earlier in the year, in May, we were able to bring the Springville Mapleton pageant here. And that was really fun because we didn't get to do it last year as we didn't really get to do anything last year except stress, but it was okay. We made it through going forward. And anyway, that it was beautiful. The girls did a great job, so talented. And, you know, they each had a mission statement and something that they wanted to do in our community. And it was great. It was really, really fun to see the hard work that they did and were able to put forth. And then also another board that I serve on is the electrical board, the power board. And it's, they do such a great job. And we used nearly 70 megawatts of power at our high last month. And we were still able to have that air conditioning because it's been so warm. And they just do such a great job, our power department. I love them because I love heat. I love lights. I love cool air conditioning this time of year.
Yeah.
And they're just fabulous. They work really hard for our city to get powered at an economical price. And we're very fortunate to be able to do that in-house because the benefits can go out into the community. We are the owners of our power department and we are the stockholders and we get to benefit from that. And I'm grateful for that.
I agree. I feel like they're one of many kind of unsung heroes of the city where, especially during the summer, as you mentioned, your power system's more at risk. They're so reliable. And when there's an issue, they fix it quick. Yeah. And what a blessing it's been for the city.
Yeah.
So
it's great. So grateful for the power department and Springville City and residents. And I love that we can all work together.
Great. Well, Liz, I really appreciate you doing this today. Thank you for your service on the city council and hope you can continue to enjoy the rest of the summer.
Well, thank you. I'm so grateful to be here and grateful that you're putting this forward, these podcasts, so that we can enjoy them as citizens and learn more about one another and the workings of the city. So thank you so much, Jack.
You're welcome. We have a few items for an Art City update this week. The first is that the final movie in the park, Raya and the Last Dragon, will be showing the night that this podcast is released, Monday, July 19th at Spring Acres Arts Park. That movie will start at dusk. Farmers markets continue on Monday evenings from 5 to 9 p.m. We have a ton of vendors this year, and so far our first couple have been really well attended. And finally, I posted on social media about rattlesnakes this week and potential increased presence in our urban environments. And, you know, as I mentioned in the post, it's not something that's super prevalent to see or to panic about. I wanted to put snake bites into context by looking up some statistics. So I found that in the United States, every year there are between 7,000 and 8,000 recorded snake bites. And to compare, there are 6 million car crashes per year. So 6 million car crashes in the year in the United States per year in the United States, and just 7 to 8,000 snake bites. Now, interestingly, of those snake bites, 55% of them are males that get bitten by snakes. 85% of snake bites happen on the fingers or hands. 57% of snake bites happen while handling a snake. And finally, 28% happen when the victim was intoxicated. So, not a lot of snake bites every year, but if you want to avoid them, don't be male. Try not to expose your hands to potential for snake bites. If there's one in your yard or one that you see, don't get near it with your hands. And when you're ever you're putting your hands in piles of trash or areas where snakes could be, landscaping, wear gloves and take caution. See what's there before you reach in. Don't handle venomous snakes, obviously. You know, we said with rattlesnakes that you shouldn't try to kill it. You shouldn't try to pick it up. You should give it space. You should see what it does, if it leaves, or if you need to call the Division of Wildlife Resources. And don't be intoxicated, especially while handling a snake, which probably goes without saying. Okay, a huge thanks today to council members Snelson and Crandall, who were on the podcast and shared some things that have been on their mind. We're really grateful for them, for their service to our community, and for taking the time to share some of the things that they've been thinking about. That does it for this episode. Until next time, I'm Jack Urquhart. This is the Art Cityscape. Have a great week.